Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to call to order the December 9 Desert Community Energy Board of Directors meeting. First order of business is roll call.
Mr. Chair, I'll be serving as your clerk today. City of Palm Desert?
Present.
City of Palm Springs?
Present.
You have a quorum.
All right. Are there any agenda modifications from staff?
We have none, Chair.
I would like to make one in that, as this is going to be my last meeting as your chair, I'd like to defer board member comments to the end of the agenda. Thank you. All right. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, we will move on to the consent calendar item. So 6A through D, is there anything that anyone would like to pull from the consent calendar? Mm-hmm. Motion to approve consent calendar.
Motion approved.
Second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
6A through D is approved. We will now move on to item 6.1. We had no items held over from consent, so we go to discussion and action items. 7A, DCE's audit for fiscal year 23-24 and related reports. Claude, please.
Awesome. Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased to report strong audit results for DCE for the fiscal year that ended on June 30th, 2024. Our audit firm, Davis Farr, issued an unmodified report. That was as of October 31st, actually, so duly timed as well. And if you look through the report, you saw that DCE remained competitive and saw revenue growth, though it was limited in some ways by rising energy costs. Nonetheless, this resulted in a net position of about $35 million, and cash on hand at that time in June was about $26 million. We're just checking in if the audit partner from Davis Farr is having a little difficulties joining. So we don't have her on at this moment, Kevin, do we?
We do not.
Okay.
So, Chair, we could come back to the audit if you'd like, or...
We can come back to it if there are any questions regarding the audit.
Oh, actually, she just joined.
Okay, good.
Talk about good timing. We'll move Shannon...
Well, Shannon.
Can you hear me? I'm assuming everyone can hear me okay. Sorry for the delay. I had a link in my email and it wasn't letting me join the meeting. So are you ready for me?
It's the volume.
We're working on the audio, Shannon. Thanks for hanging with us and everyone else.
But she can share her screen. Shannon, if you'd like to share your screen.
Okay. One minute. One. Share. Okay. Can you all see?
We can see well. The audio. Take a little time and try to get it better, or it's fixed.
You can hear me?
A little better.
Okay. Do you need me to speak louder?
Thank you.
Is that better? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I'm, as I'm assuming that Claude mentioned, I am here to report on the audit results for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2024 for Desert Community Energy. And I will get right to it. This is my first time using your new presentation system, so hopefully everything is working okay. The responsibilities of the auditor for the audit are to audit DCE's financial statements in accordance with U.S. Generally Accepted Auditing Standards and Government Auditing Standards. And then also to plan the audit to express an opinion as to whether management's financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects and in accordance with those generally accepted accounting principles. And then it does provide reasonable assurance and not absolute assurance. So the audit process consisted of us beginning field work in September 2024. During that time, we perform our risk assessments, planning for the audit, documentation and updating of internal controls, and testing of transactions. And then we also substantively test all material balance sheet accounts and analytically test revenues and expenses. So this year, our areas of audit focus included revenues and receivables, related party transactions, and cash disbursement testing. So for revenues and receivables, we do reach out to Calpine and review their SOC report. That's the System of Controls report over the recording of revenues and receivables. And then we also recalculate the revenues and receivables related to their reports. And we did not have any exceptions noted during our testing. We also did some testing related to the related party transactions with CVAG. So we obtained the quarterly billings for the transactions between CVAG and DCE to ensure that those reimbursement requests were properly supported for the transactions in the agreement. And then we also perform some testing over cash disbursement. So we make a random selection of 25 disbursement transactions and test those in accordance with the DCE's purchasing policy. We ensure that the transactions are approved, they're properly supported, and for reasonable business purchase. And again, we didn't have any exceptions noted as a result of that testing. So the culmination of all of that work and the assistance from DCE staff is the independent auditor's report, which we provided an unmodified opinion dated on October 31st, 2024. And the unmodified opinion is the highest level of opinion that can be received on the financial statements. We also issue the communication to those in governance letter, which indicates the significant risks we identified, as well as any sensitive estimates, significant disclosures in the financial statements. It would also indicate if we had any material journal entries, which there were none. And then we also issued the government auditing standards opinion. This is also known as the internal control letter. This would indicate if we had any recommendations to internal control, significant deficiencies, or material weaknesses noted. And I'm happy to report that we did not have any of those items. And lastly, I will open it up to questions if anyone has any over the audit process or the results.
Questions?
I actually have no questions. I do want to say I read through the reports and the letters that were issued, and congratulations on the projects.
Thank you. Shannon makes it sound a lot easier than it actually was.
Just a couple of very procedural questions. Did you have any difficulty accessing any information or any individual at DCE during the course of the audit?
We did not. We are always provided the items we request, as well as answers to all of our questions.
And approximately how many people and how many hours were involved in the conduct of the audit?
We have a staff of three that consists of a supervisor, a senior, and a staff. And then we probably spend, I didn't look at the exact hours, but I think it's somewhere around 120 to 140 hours, for the audit and the financial statements.
And Ben, this was an unmodified audit, the best that we can do. So
Correct.
thank you, and most importantly, thank you to all of the staff and the work that went into this. So we're very pleased. And with that, we will ex receive and file the audited financial statements, and thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Next item is an update to DCE's amended financial reserve policy. And with that, I will turn it over to Claude.
Thank you, Chair. This is a result somewhat of a conversation we had last meeting. And just jumping to the slides here. All righty. And that was really when I announced that S&P Global Ratings issued issue a credit rating, they call it, to DCE. And skip through that. They gave us a triple B, which is really great because it's investment grade. And we've had such good feedback. And in fact, some items on the agenda today, wouldn't be as possible if we didn't have such a good standing now. It's really helping a lot of other realms. And part of that conversation was the long road ahead for DCE because it is really in its infancy when you think about the life of the agency or organization, as it were. And S&P mentioned various factors during our discussions with them earlier this fiscal year. And as it always is for DCE and everyone really in life, it's internal and external factors, right? So what are we going to focus on is the internal factors. We can't really help some of the pricing constraints out there when it comes to resource adequacy. But one thing they alluded to us helping is the internal of our reserve policy. We could do a little update, enhance it slightly to allow for some more specific accumulation in the future. And so that's what this is all about. It's setting up some parameters. So right now we have a reserve policy, and it's one big umbrella, the excess funds, which we've really only been able to accumulate strongly in the past 2 fiscal years. They're based on a percentage of expenses. And the good news is we're teetering on the edge of our minimum threshold here. We maintain it, and depending on how we calculate it, we want to see that hold for a while. So one conversation we had with S&P is creating a special reserves on top of that. Especially once you meet a minimum, you can kind of bucket them for future purposes. And that's what we're arriving at here. So in the reserve policy, we've recommended 4 different special reserves. First one being this fixed charge coverage reserve. It's kind of an annual measure that we'll see potentially come up to the budget process to make sure that we're kind of covering our fixed costs enough. We have a stabilization reserve for rate shock and those type of events that are unlikely, but that we need to have funds for. Of course, procurement's a big topic, so maybe setting some certain funds aside for future projects. There's a lot of really long-term stuff we can do with that. And finally, really most importantly, and the end goal here is customer and programmatic type events, which maybe some of these other reserves can feed into there at some point in the future. So we basically updated the policy to allow for the special reserve building, and it was somewhat difficult to build that without specifying what those amounts should be, but we're not quite there yet. We want to set it up for the future, and that's why I'm asking to make these changes and update the amended policy. So happy to take any questions.
Questions?
Yes. So you're saying that the basic reserve of 50% would be the initial reserve that we're planning to hit, right?
Which is, it's all before, just in that basic reserve, right? So right now, all the extra cash is just in the bank, and it's all in that one category.
And that's your rainy day fund slash cash flow.
Right. That's like if you're going to retire, that's your 401k.
When we get into the special reserve, I did hear you just say we don't put values because it's planning for the future. Will that be coming back to the board for their consideration when we get to those values?
Yeah, so all those are absolutely have to come to the board.
I didn't see a prioritization of how those would be used in here with regard to the special funds. I would ask that we consider that as well.
Sure.
On the fixed charge coverage, I noticed that we said 1.6 times versus S&P's recommendation of 2 times, and I'm wondering why you chose that.
Right. So S&P for this fiscal year point in time, they were recommending that we maintain above the 2 times. But in the future, that might be a little stronger than we want if we're trying to balance rates with costs. So we don't want to restrain, we don't want to set too high of a target. 1.6, if you look on a scale, is considered very strong.
So it's just a lot for flexibility. Think those are the ones I don't have too much.
Claudette, how soon will we be able to start providing funds to these special reserves?
In the early new year, we're going to be reevaluating where we're at for this fiscal year. And I think that's going to be the perfect time where that conversation could come up. But I would say we're waiting on a little more information in some filings that are out there that are coming at the end of this month.
So, projecting ahead, using a model that is reasonable and prudent for what we have achieved in the past. Tell us where we are with total reserves now and where you anticipate we would be able to be a year from now, if this policy is approved.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a great question, and I think the upcoming chair, is going to be very instrumental in
Yes.
that it's a balance of rates and where that lands with our energy cost. And we've had a tough quarter. So presented 2 years of great information, and we had a tough quarter. RA prices are tough. So getting to the long or the short here, I think our budget anticipated well over what we're might be getting now. So we're looking at being able to do something like closer to only $5 or $6 million potentially growing this year in the reserve. So a year from now, we would hope, we could set rates at a place to where we could be closer to what we budgeted, which was 50 or 60 million.
So one recommendation I would make is that as we get into the new year and you're looking at these reserves, is develop a timeline over the course of the next 2 to 3 years, anticipating a couple of different numbers. One, where we are facing some fairly strong headwinds in terms of our ability to add to these reserves, and another where things are moving in a very, very positive direction, so that we create a range of expectations that we have with where we expect to go that will help us as we're moving through this to know how well are we achieving what we expect to be able to achieve in this.
Absolutely, and that's something I can bring back in February.
All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Just one additional note. Claude, on the last sentence under the basic reserve, it says the targeted max reserve balance is 75%. We're intending that to be the max basic reserve.
Right.
Okay.
So this is an action item. Is there a motion to approve?
To approve.
And I will second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So it is approved. We will move on to 7C, the midterm reliability procurement.
Thank you, Chair Middleton. This is a matter is a power purchase agreement that's part of DC's continued midterm reliability procurement through an RFP that we launched this past July. Okay, this project is with a subsidiary with a subsidiary of TerraGen for an 11.2 megawatt Phoenix project located in North Palm Springs, near the existing 3 TerraGen wind projects that the board approved at its December 2020 meeting. Project is currently under contract to San Diego Gas & Electric. That expires on January 31st. So our term will begin February 1st, 2025, and run just short of 14 years, through the end of 2038. And the it's a wind project, so with just wind adjacent to the other projects, 11.2 megawatts, as I mentioned. And the total annual energy deliverability is 33,000 megawatt hours. That will power approximately 5,300 Palm Springs households. And together with the existing wind projects, DC will soon to be power able to power more than 15,000 households, or about 53% of its existing residential customers from wind projects located right within the Palm Springs city limits. Here you can see a map of the project location. It's in the Whitewater River Wash, just south of the railroad tracks near the Altwind, Eastwind, and Coachella Hills existing facilities, facility for DCE. And this project is located to the west of that complex, next to the DWA percolation ponds. Now, the project has a number of key characteristics that led to its selection by the procurement team in the RFP earlier this year. First of all, it's within the Palm Springs city limits and adjacent to the existing projects under contract to DCE, and is a prime example of how the DCE can achieve its goals of reinvesting revenues locally to support the community by creating jobs and prompting development of more local renewable energy sources close to home. Terra-Gen is an experienced developer with more than 3,000 megawatts of new renewable and storage projects that are now in operation or under construction across California. Project will start generating power for DC's customers in less than 2 months, which will reduce price volatility in DC's power portfolio, and it will also help DCE comply with its renewables portfolio standard procurement obligations, as well as with its resource adequacy requirements from the CPUC, because it generates energy as well as resource adequacy, particularly in the evening hours when we need both of them very much. Now, the PPA that is before you is largely based on the Altwind PPA that the board approved previously in December 2020, with four key changes. Because the generators are 25 years old, Terra-Gen has the option not to replace them and reduce the contracted capacity. DCE has a right of first negotiation if at the end of the term Terra-Gen wants to repower the project, and that would be by replacing the old turbines with fewer new ones and which are much more efficient. And that is exactly what the Coachella Hills project is. That's a repower that we signed on to a couple of years ago. And DCE can assign the project to either of its members, the cities of Palm Desert and Palm Springs, should they wish to operate a CCA, and that is aligned with provision in the NextEra battery project that you approved last year. And then finally, Terra-Gen will cooperate if DCE wishes to issue bonds to prepay the power and reduce the power the project's total cost. Now, Terra-Gen has agreed to these amendments and will work on doing the conforming changes in the next few weeks. Now, with these features in mind, staff recommends that the board approve resolution and adopt resolution number 2024-04, approving a long-term power purchase agreement with San Gorgonio West Wind 2 LLC, which is the project entity for its North Palm Springs wind project, and conforming amendments to the existing power purchase agreements with San Gorgonio West Wind 2 LLC and Coachella Wind Holdings for the Coachella project, and authorizing the executive director and or legal counsel to make minor modifications before execution of the agreements. That concludes my staff report. I'm available for any questions that you have, and Ryan Belgram of Terra-Gen, formerly of the Energy Authority, is also available on the line for any questions that you may have.
Yeah. Any questions?
Yes.
When do we pop the champagne?
Thank you very much for asking that question. We're already in good discussions with Terra-Gen for a signing ceremony, probably towards the second half of next month or the beginning of February. So we'll have it signed by Tom really in the next couple of days, but we'll do a signing ceremony that we're already working on.
I think this is something we very definitely want to publicize to the community. This is a wonderful achievement. And what I would add to that is, in addition to knowing that we are now through DCE getting 53% of our electricity produced within the city limits, it would be helpful to identify all of the various power that is being produced in the city of Palm Springs, whether it's coming into DCE or not. I don't have those numbers at top of mind, but we are producing, I believe, well in excess of the amount of power that is used in this city through all of our various sources. And
we'll follow up with Edison on that because they're the ones, they're the meters, all go through them. So we'll connect with Edison and they should be able to provide that figure. So we'll check on that and that could be bring that back to the board at a future meeting. But yes, thank you very much, Chair. We'll work on that.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And that is approved. And we will move on to item 7D, Access Indian Canyon Renewable Energy Agreement.
Thank you,
Sharon. Emily here.
Okay. As you might recall, DCE supported CBAG's application for the Access Indian Canyon project to construct a bridge over Indian Canyon Drive in Palm Springs. This project is to address the issues around frequent flooding and blow sand leading to closures on Indian Canyon. Okay. The renewable energy assessment will help DCE incorporate a renewable energy component into the access project, and DCE released an RFP in August of 2024 to properly assess our renewable energy options given the project location. This is a sample rendering. Phase one of this RFP requests a feasibility study to both determine SCE transmission availability and overall cost effectiveness of a project for solar, solar plus storage, wind, wind plus storage, and or standalone storage. Phase one has been awarded to MuGrid Analytics. MuGrid is a national firm that has performed this type of evaluation for renewable energy projects across the U.S. And our recommendation is to authorize the executive director to execute a contract with MuGrid Analytics for phase one of this project. Short and sweet. Open to questions.
Any questions?
Motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item eight is information. There are no questions on that, so we'll move on to some board member comments.
Is there public comments on non-agenda items?
Do we have any public comments?
Chair, do not.
Okay. Let me say just a few things, and it's a bit bittersweet to be approaching my last meeting with DCE and having been actually in this room here when we made some of our first presentations on the concept of a CCA to members of the Palm Springs public. It is really a source of great pride to see us get to this point where we are so far advanced in the stability of the desert community energy. We can see the financial strength of the organization growing with each and every day. As I have traveled around Palm Springs and California in general and talked about our experience here in Palm Springs, what we have been able to demonstrate is that there are a very large number of our businesses and our residents who have the financial capacity to pay more in order to be able to receive 100% renewable energy and want to have that option available to them. It is our long-term plan to be able to deliver renewable energy at a cost that is comparable and possibly at some point even more beneficial than what folks are receiving through their major utility company with a traditional mix of energy products. That's not something that's going to happen in the first few years. And the people of Palm Springs, over two-thirds of our businesses, two-thirds of our residents, have demonstrated their commitment to renewable energy through their pocketbooks and through the decisions that they have made to stay with us through some of the toughest years that we will have with this program. For any of us who have been involved, we are in debt to the people of the city and for their commitment to what it is that we are doing. So I want to thank Erica, David, Claude, everybody who has been associated with this effort from CBAG. You have been the best of people to work with from moment one. And I know going forward, our incoming chair is only going to grow in his appreciation for the work that you do. I would be remiss to leave without expressing my complete disappointment with the California Public Utilities Commission and its inability to define policies and ordinances that recognize the importance of the growth of CCAs, rather than being our partner at time and time again, they have been an obstacle for us to move forward. And it remains my hope that as the governor makes decisions on who's going to sit on the CPUC, and the California legislature steps in to demonstrate the commitment of state government to CCA programs, not just simply here, but up and down the state of California, that are making a difference and could make a greater difference with more substantial support from the California Public Utilities Commission. And lastly, I want to thank my colleagues on Palm Springs City Council for allowing me to serve in this role. And I look forward to handing over the gavel to our current mayor and someone who is incredibly well-versed to be able to take leadership. So thank you so very much.
Thank you, Chair. That's a great segue into something that DCE staff wanted to present to you in honor of your contribution for leading the helm here 2023 and 2024. So we want to present this plaque as a token of gratitude that Kevin's going to pull up what it looks like for you. And this is going to be unveiled, I guess, when you're popping the champagne
at my goodness.
Potentially a PPA signing ceremony for that wind project David presented about in North Palm Springs. So that's going to be dedicated early next year to you.
Thank you very, very kindly.
Thank you. Thank you so much. On a final note, you know, we also want to mark someone else's last meeting, and that's David's as DCE staff. He's going to be re-retiring after working so hard over the past 2 years to keep the lights on at the city of Palm Springs, as I heard him so often explain to people that's what he did. He's been a really invaluable resource to our staff. For our operations and DC's outcomes. And I know I'm certainly going to miss them. So thank you, David, for everything you've done.
I will join and thank you.
And Erica can give a little bit of a sappy update.
Yes, Chair, I know you had asked us, and thank you. I want to echo Claude's comments. Our staff very much thanks. Your leadership, and I know Tom wanted to be here and had a conflict that came up at the last minute, so he wanted to express that as well. On the staffing front, we do have a new Director of Energy and Sustainability that we have snagged from Scottsdale. She will be starting at the beginning of January, and we are interviewing this week for the Program Manager position that David holds, and are in the process of also doing an RFP for some support on the regulatory side. So you can look forward to some items, certainly with the contract, some contract support, and by the next board meeting, I'd expect us to be fully staffed again.
Thank you. So with that, our January meeting has been canceled. The next CCE board meeting will be held at February 10th, 2025 at 3 p.m. here in the large conference room at Palm Springs City Hall. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.